Oh, yeah. Latency is way higher the further away you are from each other. Yeah. Without
really?
A doubt. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, a lot of matchmaking services on games will try to pair you with people who are at least in your, like, region, or they'll have regional servers, and then depending on where you are, they'll, like, assign you a preference to, like, which server you end up getting assigned to. There's all kinds of different systems for it. But, yeah, latency is a huge
issue.
All right,
I'm going to have to look into this.
Find out if you're being lied to.
I feel unsure.
We're far.
I know, but...
I mean, it's only a matter of, like, you know, hundreds of milliseconds. That's, like, about the most it gets to. But it makes sense. You think about it on scale. Like, light takes, what, 8.5 minutes to get from the sun to the earth? So when you look up in the sky and you stare directly at the sun and you fry out your eyeballs, you're doing that looking at an 8.5-minute-old image of the sun. Like, the sun is different now in actuality.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I know that stuff. I've smoked weed. Yeah, before.
No, I'm just super high and rambling at this point. I'm like, if you guys
thought about how the sun's always different.
Fucking science documentary, you know, like.
Oh, all the time.
Have you ever watched Connections? Did you know that through a series of invention, I am a crank? I'm literally a butter churn.
Is that one of his takes on that show?
Yeah, that show is great because you're just like, it's one of those things where it's like the connection isn't exactly tenuous. Like, it's really true. Like, he's like, whenever you use a lighter, you're using the, like, the invention of, like, sparking fire with, you know, whatever it is, like, was invented in the 15th century. And then it's like, well, and then they had to use, like, the actual concept of, like, a wheel, like, turning, and then it's like, well, this dates back to Mesopotamia or whatever.
So it's basically, like, the science version of those alien comics where they sit around and, like, explain basic concepts of, like, interacting with other people in the most, like, uninspired language possible.
Oh, yeah. No. It's... Have you ever seen Connections? You should definitely watch it.
I've never watched Connections. I was just going to ask you for the name of the show.
It's like a BBC show where this like science popularizer guy, he like talks about like how the invention of the loom is connected to like the invention of programming and like in what ways, and like takes you, he'll like pick two like really wildly different things and then like walk you through the steps of like how things got like influenced by each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, where's this been all my life? That sounds like exactly what I want to watch. Also,
fucking nuts.
Question: why is the BBC, a state-run entertainment like network, so fucking good at stoner programming?
It's almost like the state does things better than private corporations.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I have my doubts.
I mean, yeah, that's gray area for sure.
But yeah, also, that guy, James Burke, who made Connections, made a point-and-click video game for Windows 3.1.
What?
And it's basically like all of the things he's going to tell you about get mashed up into like a single level where it's like the pyramids like are filled with like 50s housewife kitchens, and it's just like really surreal and bizarre, and you have to like go find all the connections to like get the time off of the top of each other.
So
it's
like,
crazy.
You said it's point and click, so it's like if Douglas Adams made Myst.
Exactly.
Yeah, basically.
It rules.
That's wild. Yeah, I have to play that. I haven't played a truly good PC game since I reinstalled American McGee's Alice. So maybe I'll get that out and play it on stream.
I also recommend The Witness.
The Witness? What is that about?
That's also about... that's about like the concept of knowledge and like how learning works. Cool. And it like teaches you stuff like with the concept of like line puzzles, but it like gets more and more complicated as the game goes on and you're like working with the island that you're on to like figure out puzzles.
Oh,
it's
that's
really,
really Myst. That's super Myst.
It's super Myst.
It's super Myst inspired.
But it's like, it's not a story at all. It's literally just like, the island represents like the concept of knowledge and learning, and it's
wow,
and like
rips.
What it's so good, dude.
Well, that's like I basically, like, I was a gifted and talented kid, and that was pretty much because, like, when I was really young, my parents got me playing these Super Nintendo games called Mario Fun with Numbers and Mario Fun with Letters, you know, math and language.
Yeah, yeah.
And I played them to fucking death. So I've been saying for, like, decades at this point, like, if you can get education to me in the form of a game, that's easily the best way to do it. Or remember, what was that, like, math maze game where you were, like, a rat running around a castle or, like, a car sometimes? Y'all know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember that
one. I
don't
think I played that one. I played some game, like, called Super Number Muncher, I think, which basically is, like,
yeah,
a PC game you play by doing math problems.
That sounds familiar-ish. I'm sure the Discord will let us know all of the edutainment games they played growing up.
Yeah. Yeah. But we should definitely do, like, a stream where I'll be on the stream and watch you play play The Witness.
Oh, yeah, definitely. For sure.
Because I'd love to see you play that game. Anyway. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Beep Beep Lettuce, the regular episode.
Welcome.
Hello. Ooh. This is going to be in the regular feed. Me and Chris are in California. John is in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. As like usual.
Todd is in Iowa.
Not like usual.
Not like usual.
He's harassing Elizabeth Warren supporters, like usual.
Once again, Todd is not on the show, but he is actually doing Praxis of the Week, going out in Iowa.
Oh,
canvassing
boom.
For Bernie Sanders.
Incredible.
Coming
shout
out strong
to him. Praxis of the Week at the beginning of the episode. You love to see it, folks.
Listen, yeah. We can't not. I mean, I know it's favoritism, but we can't very well not give Todd Praxis of the Week when he's starting to do Praxis.
Yeah, he's the OG host of a show. You know, it would be rude not to give him Praxis of the Week.
Yeah, that's our boy.
It's like on Tim and Eric when they had a cooking competition and it was Tim versus a random lady who criticized his cooking online. And Eric was like, I have to pick Tim. No contest. It's like, you know, he's my friend. I have to go back to the studio on Monday, make some comedy, hopefully. This Greek woman, hope I never see her again. So, what I'm saying is we have the same standards as Tim and Eric here.
That's
in
right.
Lettuce.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
that's correct.
You know, F's in the chat for Todd. For doing a nice thing for Mr. Sanders. I hope he gets to meet him, maybe. But anyway, hello. Thanks for listening. Speaking of heroes of the revolution, Spencer Boston is a man who has a wook beard and long hair.
Oh, big time.
And
man.
He was arrested and charged with smoking cannabis. And then on his court date.
So good.
Sparked a doink in the middle of court.
I love it. There's video of it. You can watch him. He's up there on the stand and he's just like, I think like the judge is talking or something, but he's not paying attention. He's waiting for his moment. And he knows, he's like, oh, the bailiff isn't looking. The judge isn't looking. He pulls a joint out of his pocket, stuffs it in his mouth, pulls matches out, which perplexed me for a second. I was like, oh, this dude is old school, you know, down in the South in Tennessee. And then I thought about it. I was like, wait, matches don't show up on a metal detector. And he fucking sparked that doink and got in like maybe 4 or 5 quick little shrimp hits before got escorted out. It was legendary. And I hope this dude goes down in history as just like an absolute fucking hero of the proletariat.
A freedom fighter, I think. Someone who should absolutely be, remembered as, mm-hmm. you know, a fighter of the revolution.
So what you're saying, Bryn, I mean, your words, not mine, but you're saying that Rosa Parks walked so this man could run.
That's exactly true.
So you think, yeah, I would have to agree, even though maybe it's a controversial take, maybe a little problematic.
I don't see how.
Yeah, I actually don't see how. I think it's great.
I was going to go the other way with it. I was going to say, well, you know, he's no John Brown, but he put in a good effort, you know?
Sure. Yeah,
exactly.
He's doing what he can with what he has.
10 out of 10, but no extra credit. Yeah.
Yeah, I love how he apparently was like, the people deserve better, like yelling it out to the gallery as he was dragged away. And the courtroom cracked up, like laughed at him.
Well, it's
because people know that weed is funny. Weed is funny, right? Like, yeah, it's the funniest drug, without a doubt.
It's funny,
it's not
and
dangerous.
It's fine, and it should be legal.
That's right.
And it's absurd to watch like security officers drag someone away for smoking weed.
And the people do deserve better. That's for sure.
So do better, Wilson County, Tennessee. Get your shit together.
Yeah, the people deserve weed.
Yeah, that's correct.
Stupid Tennessee.
Big fucking honking mid-doinks, which as it looked like that was what this guy had. You know my guy was huffing some straight up mids. And if he couldn't get mids, he took some cop shit and he mixed it with some Reggie or some CBD flower like an absolute fucking G.
Like a real G does. So he is currently serving 10 days in jail for contempt, and then he has a $3,000 bond. Jesus. Which we should, if we haven't already, we should call him up and see if we can pay it. Because goddamn.
Yeah, that's wild.
My God. I wonder if anybody's done it yet. If they haven't, we absolutely should. Because we
We should at least we should start a little change.org or a fucking GoFundMe for him.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Sick. Shit. And everyone should do that if they're arrested for weed.
Yeah.
And if he gets convicted, it's like, let me know how to donate to his commissary because I fucking will.
Yeah. That Patreon money will go directly to that shit.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, if you have any other good protesters, Black Lives Matter protesters, Bolivian protesters who need money, we'll try and hook them up too. Let us know.
Yeah, for sure.
So good job. What was his name?
Spencer Boston.
Spencer. Of course his name is Spencer. Speaking of people who are out of their minds on weed.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of people who should be in jail but are not and should be held in contempt by everyone.
Right, exactly. Mike Bloomberg, a very strange video of Mike Bloomberg doing something came out this week. So in this video, Mike Bloomberg is shaking people's hands.
Watching it on loop. It's like, yeah, it's a little too much to handle.
It's so bizarre. I feel much higher than I should be.
Yeah.
But it's like a billionaire presidential candidate would do. He's shaking people's hands. And then a dog goes to shake, looks at his hand because he's moving it around. And then he grabs the dog's face.
Now by the upper part of its face, like with his fingers curling around the dog's upper teeth.
Right. So his fingers are in the dog's mouth, and then he shakes the dog's snout vigorously and then starts scratching its head. The dog looks so confused.
It's amazing the dog doesn't like bite his hand or get mad or something. It just looks very perplexed at what's happening.
I mean, that's a hell of a dog right there. I mean, I would trust that dog with my life.
I mean, adorable dog. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I think something that sums up how weird the video is that I had already seen it and described it to Bryn. I was like, oh, did you see this video of Michael Bloomberg like shaking a dog's face? And I used one of my hands to imitate a dog's mouth and then stuck the other one inside between my fingers and like shook it. And you were like, well, he didn't do that, right? He like grabbed the whole face and shook his head. And I was like, no, inside the mouth. She understood what I meant, but just could not parse that a human would actually do that.
It's like weirdly aggressive or like, I don't even know. It's hard for me to believe that Joe Biden is the only completely sundowning Democratic candidate. Like a new challenger is approaching.
Yeah, I think Mike Bloomberg is just a very strange person. I mean, like, you can't be, oh, my God, the dog is so cute. Mm-hmm. You can't be a billionaire for years and, like, not have your brain rot by all of these weird things you've been doing in back rooms.
There is one other, at least, image of him doing the same thing with a different dog. Did you see this one?
No, but now I'm seeing it, and there is another.
Excuse me? There's a pattern of this?
Here, I'll share it with you, John.
I guess three is a pattern, but like how long till the third one turns up?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's very strange. And so Bloomberg, I think his campaign responded with a video about dogs. It says New Yorkers know Bloomberg, and it's just little shots of dogs with like peanut butter in their mouth, and then people saying like, he does not tweet. I like Mike. I like Mike. I lick Mike.
What?
What? So oh. Deranged. Like, you're a billionaire and you pay for social media people to like make you seem cool and hip and connected. And they're like, hey, Mike, why don't you stick your hand in a dog's mouth? And then we can defend it on Twitter.
Yeah. He also released that video that was like, I like big gay ice cream. Big gay ice cream
what
is the best.
What was that? I almost forgot that happened.
Oh, yeah. That was another really weird one.
I watched that at like fucking 6:30 or like 7 o'clock in the morning, and I just think my brain like discarded it after first use. Like,
yeah. I don't need to see that ever again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I heard that and I was like, how is he a human being? He sounds like an alien. Big gay ice cream is the best ice cream.
Yeah. He's basically, he's like Mr. Fish Odor from Bob's Burgers, right? Like, everybody had like a local eccentric, like super rich person in the like community or region that they grew up in. And Bloomberg's just like the most advanced version of that. I feel like trotting out like Bloomberg and Trump and there's just been this whole chain of like incredibly rich dudes who are like, I'm just insane. I've lost my mind. It's been gone. Will you please vote for me?
No. Lots of people like that this week, actually. Like Dave Chappelle was caught like on video talking about like how Andrew Yang is like, look, would you rather have ask anybody, would they rather have $12,000 a year or health insurance? Everyone's taking the money. Health insurance is great, but groceries are necessary too. It's like,
that's
what the fuck? Shut up.
So insane. Why do I have to choose between healthcare and groceries? Dave Chappelle, Jesus Christ.
That's
also,
so
a lot of people
dark.
Wouldn't pick that because they're like, well, if they have like a medical condition and their bills would be thousands of dollars a month without health insurance, they probably would have to pick health insurance.
Yeah.
Like, let's say you have like an extremely common condition, like fucking diabetes or something. Like, health insurance is worth a whole shitload more to you than $12,000 a year, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, most people's premiums are $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
Like, that's,
I mean, like,
easily,
if I
yeah.
wanted to buy a bare minimum package from the state, it would be like $400 or $500 a month for me. And that's to get like the same shitty health insurance I'm not happy with from my employer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's like lots of people don't even have health insurance from their employer.
Yeah.
So it's like if the logic is, do you want to pay hundreds of dollars a month or get $12,000 a year? It's like, well, it's all just going to get sucked up by healthcare then.
Right.
And like, if you think about that statement for 1 second, you realize why it's a terrible idea, because the market will just immediately adjust.
Yeah,
and it's like, no one has even responded to that.
It's like people don't even realize that as soon as everybody's getting $1,000 a month, like the price of bread is going to go up. The price of rent is going to go up. The price of a car is going to go up, because all of these people are going to be like, ooh, that $1,000 a month, that could be feeding my fucking small business, my fucking national business or whatever, my car dealership. And so it's like, I'm not going to get to spend that money on healthcare. I'm probably not even going to get to spend it on groceries. And I'm going to be even more strapped for cash now, because gas is more expensive and a loaf of bread costs twice what it used to.
Right. And I never hear like Andrew Yang supporters like respond to that obvious argument. It's like, are you really that dumb that you don't understand that like if everyone in the entire world had $12,000 more, or not in the entire world, but in America had $12,000 that they would, the market would just adjust for that? Like, that's how capitalism works, right? So it's like, that just means inflation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's literally Econ 101, supply and demand. Like, it's your own liberal economic logic that would say, like, this doesn't work right. Like, this doesn't actually change any class status.
Yeah, I don't really know who, like, makes up the coalition of Yang voters. My guess is that it's a mix of people who really are that dumb, Bryn, and, like, just literally have not thought about it and don't know how the economy works. And then probably, like, libertarians or Nazis or people who, like, I don't know, are just like, I'll take free money. and then this will help libertarianism establish itself. Or
I mean, it would honestly only make sense if it was means tested. Like if it was like only poor people get $12,000 a year, but even then, you would still just see like, you know, healthcare prices rise. Well, and, you know.
But wait, if you go to that point, how is that any different than just charging the rich a little bit of money? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Giving poor people money that you don't give the rich is the same as taking a little bit of money from rich people. So just fucking do that. It's way easier. Like, it just makes sense. Like, if somebody has an insane amount of fucking wealth, just take some of it. Like, do it with the state. Do it with a fucking mob with pitchforks and torches. I don't give a shit. Just do it.
I would like both of those things. Yeah.
Both of those things are fine.
They'd be great.
Both of those things are fine and good.
Yeah.
Speaking of absolutely galaxy brain shit, though, Elizabeth Warren this week, another presidential candidate who has no idea what they're talking about and doesn't understand anything, released a policy proposal in a release on her website to she proposed criminal penalties for quote unquote spreading voting disinformation online. Let me read the actual quote. I will push for new laws that impose tough civil and criminal penalties for knowingly disseminating this kind of information, which has the explicit purpose of undermining the basic right to vote.
Yes, Queen. Take down those bad take Drumfos. I want to see Ben Shapiro and every fucking leftist who has what I consider a bad take from the center of the aisle put in jail. Love it. Definitely won't get abused at all.
Right. I mean, I don't know. God, I don't know what she's really talking about here. I mean, you could probably, the most charitable thing she's saying here is like, company, I'm trying to be charitable here.
Yeah, I know.
That companies would be responsible for platforming things like Russian ads on Facebook.
Well, that is one of the things she talked about, because I did actually go and read her entire release, which is pretty long. So,
I read
you know,
a little of it.
I skimmed some of it.
It's
but
not
I,
that long.
I read most of it. It's pretty long. Well, if it's so long, it's so short, why didn't you read it, Humbrin?
I did.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Well,
I
definitely didn't read any of it, so explain it to me.
She spends most of it talking about more Russian fake news. You know, it's the same stuff about the Internet Research Agency. She links to, like, she's like, many experts analyzed it and links to this like PDF that's like an 80-page study about it, which like kind of looks like it'd be funny to read. Some parts were like common mentions of Twitter accounts run by the IRA. So it was like
the IRA,
the Internet Research Agency.
Oh,
Russia was called. Yeah, I know. It's very confusing.
I thought you meant the
That'd
Irish
be even cooler if they were doing that. Yeah.
Well, that like leads into my main concern with this, which is like, yeah, sure, it'll be great if you're like knocking out foreign interference in U.S. elections or whatever, but where does it stop, right? Like, pretty soon it's going to be like, well, you know, journalists who want to report accurately on people like Maduro, for instance, or other socialist leaders around the world, it's like, well, that doesn't fit in with U.S. propaganda. So what we're saying is you're spreading fake news and now you're going to go to jail for it.
Right.
Right. It would be so easy. So basically then she says like that a lot of the Russian memes were things like, you don't have to go to the polling place anymore. You can just vote via text. Or like if you voted Democrat in the past, you automatically vote Democrat again. Or just like weird lies that people would post on Twitter.
Okay.
To try to get people not to vote. So she wanted anything that was like doing that to be punishable. And she did talk some about like Facebook and Twitter and stuff being held responsible. But I'm pretty sure also it's like she literally wants individual people to be able to like be arrested or be sued for posting those things.
Of course she does.
Yeah,
which is absurd.
So fucking terrible. It's weird because she positions herself as the like, I'm almost as far left as Bernie, but then she internalizes like, that means we should do a Big Brother. We should just do a 1984.
Yeah.
Right. It's like Bernie is like, we should use the massive state we have to help people, maybe, you know, give poor people food and housing and money and a union. And Elizabeth Warren is like, well, what if what they really want is for me to spy on their Twitter feed and then drag them away in shackles and sue them because they posted a meme that we don't like?
That's right.
Yeah,
I also want that.
It's like everything everybody thinks China is so scary for, like, oh, they have repressive state media. You're not even allowed to voice a dissenting opinion. It's like Elizabeth Warren's like, what if that was dressed up in a sweater and had a coexist bumper sticker on the back? Like,
yeah, but it's like literally impossible to do anything about, because it's like you have to abide by like free speech, right? So it's like, you know, because it's fucking America and we have quote unquote free speech. So it's like, you can't say you can't lie on the internet. It's literally impossible.
That's absurd. Yeah.
This is really aggravating the libertarian in my libertarian socialism. I got to tell you, this really makes me want to double down on my commitment to become the sovereign citizen version of a leftist. Just like, no matter what happens, like, I'm never fucking satisfied. I'm like, this is definitely still impinging on my rights and millions of other people's rights. Like, just like, never fucking give up that. Like, I could live in a utopia where everything was just like at my most instant demand, and I would be like, this is decadent. I don't know. Like, I don't know what my critique would be, but I'd have one.
Right. But I will make one up for sure.
It would make sense to be like always a little afraid of this. It's like why people are so afraid of big government is because it's like, the people who are in power are fucking maniacs like Elizabeth Warren who are like, want to do something absurd like this.
Well, it's just
that's like there's a germ of truth to this like weird American ideal that we have like a very perverted version of in our current society and like in our whole society as a country. But like there's this American ideal of like, you can't really tell people that it's like illegal to be wrong, or that you can't like just like deliberately marginalize their opinions. And the problem is that we don't think about that in terms of economics, but in like a lot of other realms, it holds true. And like, you can't just be like, oh, you had a bad opinion. You know, we're going to criminalize that, because it's like, who's the ruling body? Who makes the decision? You know, who watches the watchers? Or
right. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be cool if it was just like the bad opinion is capitalism is cool. Like, you couldn't have the opinion that you should be able to exploit people or something.
Well, no, I mean,
I'd be done with that.
I mean, it's I've talked about on this show before, like, sure, I think free speech doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, you know, I would prefer that racism and hate speech was actually illegal and people would do something about it. And like, those people would have to go to like mental health, you know, stuff that doesn't exist under capitalism, but like actually taking care of its citizens and being like, oh wow, we have like rampant racism. We should have like mental health services that like actually do something.
Yeah. Like actually deprogram people.
But obviously we're racist on purpose, so that would never happen while we are an imperialist nation. But the point is that I don't even care so much about the free speech thing. It's just like, it doesn't even make any sense, because it's like, you can just be like, I was joking.
Right.
I mean, like, okay.
Yeah, so like, how does this handle parody? How does this handle sarcasm? How many like leftists and also like weird libertarians are going to end up in court? Like, I was just fucking joking. And then we're going to have to form all of these weird like libertarian left, libertarian right coalitions, and also like authoritarian. It's just going to be messy and soupy and bad. And like, actually, you know what, Elizabeth Warren, if you get elected, fucking do this, because it will bring about the revolution. And I am dead. This is an accelerationism I can get behind. Fucking try me, Warren. Try my ass.
Yeah, John's just like putting a blunt in his mouth and grabbing onto the Elizabeth Warren train on a skateboard, and is like, listen, accelerate. Then I'm going to go so fast I can launch into the air and fly, and then I'm going to land in the White House. Allegedly.
I don't know. It's just like, you're not going to actually do this. It's all just fake posturing for like weird Russiagate psychopaths on Twitter.
Right. It's just bullshit.
Yeah. But speaking of bullshit and really insane behavior from Democrats, the Wall Street Journal reported this week that the Iowa caucus has a new voting app, and it's causing security concern. Caucus workers will use the app on their personal smartphones, prompting questions of possible vulnerability. So they apparently... The fucking Iowa caucus has done this before. They have created apps for voting before. Mm-hmm. But the last time they did it, Microsoft made the app. And it was announced months in advance that they were developing it, that this is what the procedures taken for security. This time, they haven't even announced who made it.
Yeah, that's the part that fucked me up so bad. Like, I didn't even catch that when I read the article, and then I saw somebody post a section of the article on Twitter and say they don't even know who made the app. Was that you?
Yeah.
And I was just like, what the fuck is happening right now? This is unbelievable. Because, like, if you have security concerns, I get it. Like, you know, you don't want to give out a lot of information. But who made the app? Not giving that out is a security concern that dwarfs any kind of targeted, like, fucking tampering that could happen just because we know that, like, Microsoft made it or Apple made it or whoever the fuck, Amazon made it, whatever.
Yeah.
Right, because, I mean, like, what even is it then if we don't know who made it? Like, it seems like it's basically a black box where they, like, look at their phone and are like, oh, what do you know? Bernie lost.
100%.
Yeah, and then they say that, like, oh, there's going to be physical copies. There's going to be, like, handwritten tallies to back this up in case there are any discrepancies. No, there's fucking not. You give people an opportunity to do something on their smartphones, they're just going to do it on their smartphones. Everybody knows that.
Yep.
It's common knowledge.
It's very strange. According to the Wall Street Journal, this isn't the only tech-related controversy for the Democratic Iowa caucuses this election cycle. The state party initially sought to allow some phone voting through so-called virtual caucuses, but the DNC blocked the plan over security concerns.
Wow.
So I don't know. This sounds like they're literally just creating something to fuck up this whole thing. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it sounds to me like they were defending Hillary the first time around, right? They were like, oh, no digital voting, because if Microsoft makes it, it's going to work, and then it'll count the tallies correctly, and
sure.
Bernie will get the nomination. But this time around, they're like, hey, remember that thing we were scared about? What if we did the thing we were scared of, but, like, to support our candidate?
Yeah. So I wonder what would happen, though. I mean, if there's a real security concern, what about where are all those white hat DEFCON guys? Why don't you try and see if there's any obvious flaws?
They can't hire any of the white hat DEFCON guys because they all watch the Joe Rogan Experience and are already voting for Bernie.
No. They don't need to hire them. I'm just saying that they should maybe peek around a little bit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I'll put out some YouTube comments. I think that'll really get the community moving on that.
Oh, man. But it's sort of weird because it's like we kind of already said that everyone's already saying they're going to rig the election, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. It's like, what do we do if that happens? What if we do if it's out in the open?
I don't want to bring up pitchforks and torches again, but, like, they send a clear message, and it's a good way to form a big enough crowd that you can get some people hauling a guillotine up the middle of the crowd too.
Where do you even get a pitchfork these days?
It's the hardware store, Depot? Probably. Home Depot.
Yeah.
Fucking
they
Lowe's.
Have pitchforks. Yeah, but they're like green. I feel like
should
right?
do.
You want to paint it cooler looking?
Yeah, I mean, like, whatever. We're still not going to look as dorky as the far right people and their fucking tiki torches, so I don't think we have anything to worry about.
I guess that's true.
Because, I mean, like, we all know how to dip a piece of found wood into a bucket of kerosene, right? Like, it's not rocket science.
Yes, I know how to do that. Lived here my whole life. But yeah, I guess that's kind of... I would just really keep an eye on this if you're listening. Find the people who are responsible for this, because it's weird because there's Troy Price. Troy Price says, we are confident in the security systems we have in place. Who's Troy Price? He is
an intern.
He's the Democratic Party chairman in Iowa. Maybe he has a Twitter. I'm just saying, maybe tell people. Oh, yeah, here he is.
How many followers?
At Troy M. Price. 5,000 followers.
That's pretty good. All right.
I think we need to make sure he's really, really confident in what these fucking security measures are. Why don't you ask him is what I'm asking.
Or maybe if you have a burner account where it looks like you're a big titty lady and DM Troy and be like, Troy, you're so sexy. Whenever a guy's cute, I always want to know, like, what's his mom's maiden name and what's his social security number and just weird stuff like that so I can know more about him. You know, maybe try that out and see what happens. See what he thinks.
Yeah, this guy seems like he's a big, well, he's taking pictures with all of the different people, Warren, Bernie. He's just tweeting about it. He's like, I just like politics. But
I wonder if he's not allowed to say who he supports.
I think he's maybe not allowed.
Yeah, he's probably restricted from being able to do that. Yeah. But he looks particularly smitten with Mr. Buttigieg when they finally got to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. So I get the feeling, just looking over his Twitter, he seems a little donut, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
I think
about.
Anyone who can like have a conversation with Mayor Pete without like
punching him in the face.
On the face. Yeah, yeah. Or that. Is
I literally don't know if I could. I would probably get arrested if I met Mayor Pete.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
You would yell at him and say, like, call him out, and he would say something really smug and condescending back. And then you start kicking his ass.
I feel like
I would just offer him weed till he called the cops on me. That's, like, that's the move, right? Because
that's a really
you're
good
being
move.
Nice,
yeah.
Right? Like, you're being nice, you're just breaking the law, and you're putting him in this really weird spot that he probably hasn't been in since college. And I think that would, like... Right. Do a lot of psychological damage that maybe something more overt wouldn't be able to manage.
Yeah, I like that move. That's a good move. I recommend that you do that next time you see Mayor Pete.
That's my go-to. I mean, if I see somebody I like, if I see somebody I don't like, the move is always the same. Do you want some weed?
Would you like to smoke this weed with me? So I don't know. Really be careful with that because this is so insane. And I don't know what else to say about it except...
Caucus harder, I guess.
Caucus harder. Be like Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them to their face how this app works and how they know it's secure.
It is also good. It's confusing to me because I feel like I've tried to read a lot about it and I still don't fully understand how a caucus works versus a regular primary. Like,
it's
as far as I know, it sounds like it's a big group of people in a room, like, arguing with each other and trying to convince people to come to the side of like Bernie or Biden or whatever. And it's like at the end of the day, like wherever delegates or caucusers are standing is like where they end up or something.
Finally, I have an answer to my question. What the fuck is a free marketplace of ideas?
It's a caucus.
Basically, yeah. It's like a weird, it's like not exactly democratic, or it's like in some ways it's more democratic than just like being in a voting booth and like casting a secret ballot, because you are like arguing your case and trying to convince people, and like I guess it's conceived as like a forum or something. I don't really know.
It's weird. Yeah, it's like a combination of direct democracy, but they're like, we can't get everybody in the room, so let's just get the big players in the room and play it kind of fast and loose. How's that sound?
Right, yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it sounds awful, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think people should be able to just fucking vote directly. Like, honestly, whether you do it on your phones or you have to go to a polling place, whatever, like, if there's a primary, just everybody fucking votes on it like a goddamn referendum. Like, that's it. As direct as you can get is as good as you can get, as far as I'm concerned.
It would be so easy with, like, smartphones and the internet and shit. It's like, especially with the fact that they're using apps for it anyway. Like, why not just be voting on everything?
That's the thing. It's like, okay, so I posted about this recently. I'm like, why don't we just have a peer-to-peer network where we can all fucking vote from our toilets and everybody will be able to audit the fucking vote trail to make sure that it's legitimate. Just, like, use the blockchain or whatever. And everybody was like, well, if you... know what everybody's votes are, then employers and other political figures can coerce people into voting differently, and they can punish people explicitly, you know, skirt the law or whatever to figure out ways to make life harder for people who don't support their causes. And then I was like, well, you know what, though? You could just pass a referendum to be like, this person's fucking me. And since that other referendum passed by a majority, that person's probably fucking a majority of people over. They can just be like, well, fuck this person, and pass like laws against them, or be like, you know, whatever. I don't know. Go to fucking Gulag. I don't give a shit what it is. I don't give a shit what tendency it comes from. Like, if a community is like, hey, this rich guy is like making a lot of decisions that are making our life difficult, you should be able to log into like referender with no last E in it and just be like, I think this guy should have to go to re-education. And your neighbors should be like, you know what? I think you're fucking right about that.
I agree.
Also, I need a raise.
Great. Yeah. I think it'd be fine. Who cares? If you can see what who.
Right. That's who my that's my like technocrat communist coming through. Like,
I mean, it'd be better than what we have now.
Much, much better.
That's such a low bar, though. I mean, is that even a compliment? Like,
it's a very backhanded compliment where it's like, wow, good job, guys. Your commune is better than living in the United States directly. So
truly damning with faint praise.
Yeah.
So speaking of damning with faint praise, due to a new California law, Uber allows some drivers to set their own rates.
Right. Sounds good on paper, just like my uncles told me communism did.
Yeah.
I'm glad you agree. It also is great in practice, so let's do it.
But Uber failed to take into account one critical thing, and that's human nature.
Okay.
Oh, fuck.
Unlike communism.
Capitalism loves human nature. It's entirely based on it.
So what happened?
So there's a law that is like trying to make it harder for like companies like Uber to have what is basically employees but call them contractors and then like not give them any benefits. So what they're basically trying to do, as far as I can tell, is like skirt around those rules by being like, no, look, we're gonna let them set their own rates and not do surge pricing if they want to. So now they're entrepreneurs. They're really running their own Uber business through Uber, and as you can see, they're now not employees at all, and they're totally contractors. So we don't owe them any health benefits or fair wages or anything, because, you know, you can just charge $2 more for a ride, and then someone else will undercut you, and then you won't get to give a ride at all, and you'll make no money. But wasn't it your own choice that led you to that place? So doesn't it feel better not making money?
Yeah, they're literally just like subsidizing risk even further and being like, that makes them contractors. Please don't tax us. Like, please don't make us give them health care.
That's so evil.
Very lame.
It's so fucked up. And it really fucked me up that it even said in the article, like, Uber will prioritize customers to get the best rate, right? So like, they're literally creating an artificial marketplace in which they are the sole arbitrator and incentivizing selling your labor for less and less money. Yet, I'm sure Uber's fee that they keep on top of it stays the same. Or probably not even, because Uber operates at a fucking loss just so that they can push the gig economy on American people, because they know what it will do and they know that they can like capitalize off of it.
They are doing it. They're doing great at capitalizing on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so fucking evil. I hate that.
Yeah.
It's not like, well, I'm a driver and I'm going to charge $20 an hour then or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like,
I mean, maybe in rare situations, like if there's not other Uber drivers around, you could just like raise your rate a little bit and then you'll get a ride. But like what will almost certainly happen most of the time is if you like set it at all high, someone's going to be like, oh, that's too much for an Uber, and then not call you. And then someone else will get the ride instead who drives by.
Right.
Yeah. They interviewed the first two people they interviewed. Like, the first guy was like, it's not that much a difference, but it makes a difference to us as a driver. So, you know, this guy like put his rates up like 10% and got a few rides and he was really happy with it. The very next person they interview was like, I raised my rates by like 50%, probably to get a fucking living wage. And I didn't get a ping for like an hour, 2 hours. And I'm like, of course you fucking didn't. Because Uber's like, fuck you. How dare you try and survive off of this?
Yeah. We are trying to make billions of dollars here. We can't afford to pay you anything.
Yeah. How else would I get my fucking gold bidet? I have to have my gold bidet or I can't shit, my doctor said.
It's my doctor is Gwyneth Paltrow.
If I don't have a gold bidet and a jade egg up my pussy or asshole, I can't make anything happen.
Or both. Yeah. That's one of my favorite things.
It's just a fact of life at this point. We all need to just accept it like a natural disaster.
Yeah, it's terrible. Speaking of terrible, insane, techno future cyberpunk bullshit, the googly-eyed grocery store robot named Marty that we talked about on episode 35 with Boringstein.
Oh, wow. Throwback. I forgot we talked about this guy.
If you go back and look at the episode 35 artwork, you will see the same robot.
Oh, yeah. He's like smoking a big doink and he kind of has bloodshot eyes.
He has a gun. And that episode is called Hello, Fellow Workers. He was basically like a replacement for workers when we were talking about how it's lame.
Because because we talked about like the Stop and Shop strike on that episode.
That's
and
exactly
this robot
correct.
Is in Stop and Shops. Wow, it's all coming full circle. Yep.
So this guy is now a witness to a crime.
Well, witness to an alibi. So right. I guess there was this guy, Fotis Doulos, who was charged with murder of his wife or ex-wife or recently separated wife or whatever. And his girlfriend, Michelle Traconis, was also arrested earlier this month in connection with her disappearance. The woman in question being Jennifer Doulos, Fotis's wife. And I guess Traconis's, his girlfriend's alibi is that she was taking a photo with one of these automatic cleaning machines in a Stop and Shop in Connecticut during the time that the crime was happening. And the story goes even deeper than right. that. At risk of being like Karen Kilgariff doing My Favorite Murder, I did click through to the related article. And apparently this guy, Fotis, he and his lawyer are suspected of trying to kill each other's wives in an okay. essentially like an emulation of Strangers on a Train by Alfred Hitchcock. And his lawyer's wife was like invited to multiple dinners with this guy and also people related to his lawyer. And she didn't feel comfortable going to them. So she figured out ways to get out of them at various times. So she felt like she was being targeted. And she got in touch with the police. They opened an investigation into this guy that had, I guess, or added a part of onto an investigation with this guy. And then some people who worked at a country club nearby reported that the grounds of the country club that Fotis's lawyer was also a member of recently, they had found like 6 months ago and not reported to the police a pit that looked like a human grave with barbecue grates over it covered
what?
In leaves and two bags of lime in it, which is known to increase the rate of decomposition, but they never found a body. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like super weird. It seems like these guys tried to kill each other's wives, and there's like all of these cell phone pings and everything that law enforcement has that verify that like Fotis and his lawyer were at different suspicious locations. Like his lawyer's story has changed a bunch of times over the course of being investigated a bunch of different times. These dudes definitely were just trying to kill each other's wives, and an innocent and beautiful gun wielding pot smoking robot who was replacing innocent workers got dragged into all this.
Yeah, so you're saying, wow, so this is very complicated and insane, and this poor Marty, he just didn't want to see.
Oh my God, this poor Marty. He's just trying to be a scab, people.
Yeah,
he's just trying to fuck over the proletariat.
A little robo-scab.
Yeah.
And he didn't do anything wrong besides that.
Well, he was programmed that way, so it's not his fault. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not his fault. He's literally a robot. Like, I mean, it's like when you see a police dog and you're like, oh, you could have been so great.
Yeah, you poor baby.
Yes. So basically, you're saying that Jennifer Doulos is innocent and that Marty will prove that.
Oh, Jennifer Doulos is the woman who got murdered. It's saying
murdered.
That. This guy's Fotis's. I can't say Fotis without laughing. Fotis's girlfriend, Michelle Traconis, said that she was taking a selfie with this robot, and that's apparently her exonerating evidence.
Like she's saying, check the security footage. Are there like the camera on the robot, and it'll show me there at that time?
Right, but the camera on the robot really only takes pictures of the floor.
Mm, so it has to see her shoes.
And it's specifically designed not to take photographs of people in the store because that's like a security concern.
Pretty creepy, yeah.
So it's not, it's just such a flimsy excuse. Like, obviously, these dudes were like, let's do Strangers on a Train so I can elope with my new girlfriend and you can get out of your rocky divorce. Like, that's definitely what happened.
So you're saying that everyone is guilty and the robot didn't see anything.
The only thing the robot is guilty of is being programmed to be a class traitor, which, to be honest, is the fault of the people who made the robot, not the robot himself. And I say that the solution, the neat little bow we can tie on this whole complicated-ass story, is that we're kidnapping this robot and we're reprogramming him for communism.
Well, I would agree that that would be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be perfect because, like, in the future, when, you know, Todd has to go off on trips to canvas for Bernie or hang out with Bernie or whatever, we could just have a Todd bot who could be the fourth mic, and it could be programmed to say stuff that Todd would say.
Yeah,
and then the listeners wouldn't have to miss him.
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah, we should have made that, now that I think about it.
Yeah, we didn't have the robot yet, though, so.
Oh, right.
Todd needs a body forgot. Too.
Well, speaking of stuff that we've talked about before, the yellow vests.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
In France are back, kind of.
Very, very spiriting images of firefighters clashing with police on Twitter today, especially an image I saw of three firefighters walking around in what looked like bicycle helmets carrying a hammer and sickle flag. I was like, fuck yeah, France is doing something right. Maybe not everything, but like, something cool is happening.
Oh, man, that rules,
there.
Yeah.
Yes, so it seems as though the yellow vest movement is still going, and the firefighters in France are on the side of the yellow vests, are becoming the yellow vest people.
Well, they're like also involved because they're protesting for better wages. And
right. Apparently, the firefighters' hazard pay, which I guess is like the money that they, the bonus that they get for actually like being in super danger, like
I assume
going
so,
into
yeah.
fires
risking
or whatever.
Your life running into a burning building.
Hasn't gone up since the 90s.
Since 1990.
So it's completely stagnant.
30 years.
Meanwhile, in the United States, like way too many of our firefighters, like a disproportionate percent, are volunteers who aren't even paid. And like they would never fight the cops.
Or in
like,
prison.
Quote unquote, first responder culture is so integrated that like fucking like, you know, EMTs and paramedics and firefighters are conditioned to just like hang out with buddy up with cops all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, it's the same job. You fight fires, you fight black people. It's the same deal.
Mm-hmm. We're all responding first. So, you know, it's
who
the same
among
thing.
Us hasn't seen a burning building and planted like a little bit of cocaine on it. Who among us?
Yeah.
Well, it just looks so nice when it burns. It burns a little green or something. It looks like a nice firework.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. You don't understand. You're not a first responder.
Yeah, what are you, a fucking second responder? Maybe, honestly, you seem like you're a third responder, probably, at best.
Yeah, what are you, like a concerned neighbor? Nobody gives a fuck about you. Shut the fuck up.
So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, do we know for sure, like, I couldn't tell if it's like the firefighters have like literally joined the yellow vest movement and are like wearing the yellow vests and stuff.
No, I mean, as far as I can remember, like when we were talking about it the first time, like it's not like really a, you know, it's not, it's like Antifa,
it's
right?
It's pretty like, loose. It's like Antifa like, or Black Lives Matter, where it's basically just like a bunch of people with similar grievances organizing together because they share the same grievances.
Exactly.
Yeah. And France is just kind of doing it naturally because they have a history of being good at being fed up. You know, how many fucking French revolts have there been? How many communes and revolutions has that country gone through? My God.
So many.
Because it's big and it's like a lot of it's agrarian and there is like a class history there and like a popular history of class struggle and stuff. So, I mean, they kind of, they have their faults, but like in a lot of ways, they kind of get it, you know, like every time I look at France and what's happening over there right now, all of the different movements that are cropping up adjacent to this, it's like, it's going to look so different in the United States. Like I really want to take the French model, but like the United States culture, like you see that side by side that goes around on Twitter where it's like British protests versus French riots, like the virgin British protests versus the Chad French riot. It's like the United States is so far on the side of the virgin British protests. Like we have to do it a different way.
Well, I don't know. In a certain way, like I think like Ferguson was very much more like the French style, you know, like
or like the Dakota Access Pipeline and
turning over
people getting right up in the face of law enforcement. Like that's good energy, and we do have it here. But I don't know. Maybe the problem is thinking about the United States as like a homogenous country because it's like it's enormous, and there's so many different like regional material conditions, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, regional, and also like Bryn was pointing out, racially, it's so divided that it's like,
yeah,
it's almost like the like most marginalized people in the US are like an escape valve for proletarian anger, because it's like not always happened that way, but more or less it's like Black people have been scapegoats and like the most oppressed and poor people, and so like poor white people always have like the outlet of being racist or being like, well, we're better than the Black people,
right? Just having an inch to stand over somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that like America is so weird because, you know, there's definitely a lot of people who poo-poo and are like, oh, these violent savages in Ferguson or, mm-hmm. or wherever else that, you know, are protesting police violence. And then we have the people doing it. And one is very effective. They're both very effective. This is the thing, is that we're at war with ourselves mm-hmm. more often than anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're saying both as in like the cops actually doing the violence and then like the white liberals who like normalize the violence.
Yeah, but also the fucking protesters themselves.
Yeah,
you know, like that energy is definitely there. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to like take that away
totally
from
yeah,
Americans,
yeah.
you know, because it's just we as a country have really really, really tried to suppress it in a way that I think France hasn't.
Yeah.
Like France has sort of internalized it, especially because France is so old. But like, I think that the narrative of America being like this, you know, just happy melting pot that didn't have slavery, like it's all so dishonest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas France is sort of like internalized the fact that they're kind of like into rebelling sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when we talked a while ago on the show about the yellow vests, like one of the things we talked about is that like even the cops were like kind of getting mad and were like suffering at the brunt of austerity and like pay cuts and stuff, because they were like not getting paid overtime for all the like times that they were like beating up protesters, which is like obviously cops aren't workers and they shouldn't be paid anything to beat up protesters, but it's like it's funny and ironic that like even the people who were like they're bought and paid for like stooges that keep imperialism and capitalism going like are like, this sucks, you're not paying me enough for this. It's like cops would never say that in the US. Many cops would happily beat up protesters in Ferguson for free, I think.
Totally.
Is the problem we have here.
Yeah, that is
definitely
the dangerous, scary thing about America, is that like people just love the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
or even if the like enough cops were like, I don't want to work without overtime pay, it's like some cops would still come and they would also just call all of their like white supremacist buddies, because that's a ton of cops are.
The United States would just form a fucking legion of volunteer cops. They would just mm-hmm. be like, any males between 20 to 30 years old who aren't communists are now conscripted into cop service. You know, like they're going to fight us tooth and nail every single way, every single step of the way down. And like, there's only so much we can do about it besides fight back. But, you know, death to America. Of
death
course.
To America.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and with that, that'll be the end of this episode. Shout out to, you know, the yellow vests and the firefighters fighting the cops, you know, in France. And
beautiful
hopefully
energy.
We can adopt that energy when Iowa's app fucks Bernie Sanders and we're going to have to do something about it. But thank you so much for listening to this episode. We are having a nice little weird vacay. Sorry for these late episodes this week. We'll be back on track soon. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to help us out, please go to our Patreon at patreon.com/beepbeeplettuce. If you want to help us out a little more, you could go on Apple Podcasts and write and review us there. It really helps people find the show. Follow us on Twitter at Good Opinion Haver, at Facebook Villain, at Kinematography. We're joking, we're laughing, we're posting. Mm-hmm. It's a good time. Also on Facebook at Facebook Mids Posting, BP Labs Mids Posting, and we will see you in the Discord.
Be bound.
Love
Big
you.
Doors, people. Amish.